those are certainly very true words. And it's an outstanding follow-up to Brother Brad's comment about the lady there at that well. You know, there's a lot of things that we could all stand up and tell about ourselves that we wouldn't impress one another with a lot of things from our past. And that lady at that well didn't have an impressive past or present. But the Lord sees through those things. And if the Lord is our example, then we ought to be able to see through them too in one another and look at the good things about each other. I'm going to just take the time that's left and speak from Hebrews chapter 4. If you want to read along with me, I'm trying to figure out a way to tie it back into what Brother Brad and Brother Harold have said. But if I don't you blame me for it and not the Lord, but this is what's on my heart. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Teaching the benefits of experience to today's generation is not an easy task. I don't know if it's a characteristic of just my generation and younger, or if it's a characteristic of young people that's always been there. I'll be able to tell you more about that later on as my children get older. But I can remember growing up, and I'd be doing something on the farm there with Daddy or my older brother, and they would try to show me something. And the whole time they're trying to show me, I'm too busy trying to tell them, I know. I know. I know. You ever done that? When your mom or daddy tried to show you how to do something, and you just say, I know. You don't want to be shown. You want to figure it out yourself. Believe me, there's some things that, on a bigger scale, not just little farm chores, on a bigger scale, that I thought that I wanted to find out on my own. But I wish I'd have sat back and listened to my daddy for just a second. Scripture says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I believe we should. And there's times I wish I would have some more. The benefits of experience. The fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, that comment, let us, is in there four times. Let us. I'm a fan of sports that involve teamwork. I've never had been much on golf or tennis or any of the other things where I'm just standing out there on my own, and it's not because I wouldn't enjoy them probably if I tried them, but the ones that I've been involved in were team sports, where you work together hand in hand to accomplish a certain goal. And I'm not trying to put the house of God or you or I as fellow church members as being on a team against other churches or anything like that. That's not what I'm trying to that's not the point I'm trying to make, but I am trying to say that the Apostle Paul was telling the Hebrews, let us together as a group, let us do these things. In other words, let us help one another with these things. In verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 4, he says, let us fear God. Let us fear God. And let us therefore fear. I added a word and missed the other one, but you get my point. And it's almost a quote verbatim from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, where he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of God. This is the whole counsel of God. Let us do these things. We're not individuals living out here in this wicked world. We're family members. We're church members. We're folks who are supposed to love one another. Let us do these things together. Let us therefore fear. See, the first thing, if you stop there when you read through this chapter of Scriptures, you're going to think that the Apostle Paul is trying to scare the Israelites, the Hebrews, but that's not what he's doing. What he's trying to do is encourage them to do these things together, let us therefore fear. He goes on down, and I believe it's in verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Let us labor to enter into that rest. You know there's a rest that God sends that doesn't come free. There's a rest that he sends that comes free, and it's our home in heaven. Yeah. And it's not based on anything that we've done. It's not based on any merited favor or anything that you and I have done. And there'll be rest up there. It won't be work. I was in the restroom with my oldest one down there when we were down south, and there was a magazine there, and I picked it up, and it said that in heaven, we'll all have duties up there, just like we have down here. God will give us all duties up there. I don't think that's not my vision of heaven. I can't exactly tell you exactly what it's like, but I can tell you, I don't think there's duties up there for us to do. I don't think there's work in heaven. I think it's a place of rest, of eternal rest. And Scripture says that there's a rest here in this life that you have to labor to enter into. You have to study the Word of God and become familiar with God and His ways to be able to rest on what He tells you. Let us labor to enter into that rest. There was a preacher who told me this morning when I was talking to him on the phone that years ago, there's a man came to the house of God, to the Old Baptist Church, and he, on his way in, he told the pastor, he said, I want to join the church today. And the pastor of the church asked him, well, why do you want to join today? Well, why do you want to join the church here? And he said, well, I want to join the Primitive Baptist because you don't have to do anything to be a member here. And the pastor told him, he said, we've got enough of your kind already. No, thank you. We've got enough of the do-nothings. And as Scripture says, as the pastor there in Middle Georgia says in Romans chapter 10, he quotes Romans chapter 10 and says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Sometimes old Baptists have all the knowledge and they have no zeal to work and to labor in the kingdom of God. Let us encourage one another to labor together. And it doesn't mean that we just labor on Sunday mornings. It means, as the Scripture says, if I would have gone back to chapter 3, and says, but exhort one another daily. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's nothing wrong with calling one of your church members during the week and saying, I love you. I'm praying for you. I'm looking forward to seeing you on Sunday morning. What are you studying about? What are you reading? What sort of things do you want to talk to Brother Will about on Sunday and ask him about Scriptures? There's nothing wrong with doing that. You're encouraging one another in your walk here in this life. Let us do these things. And as I just read to you, another thing that he said, let us do, let us hold fast our profession. When we baptize someone into the church, we say, upon a public profession of your faith. I remember before we had the baptisms, it's been too long. We need to have another one here coming up soon. But it's been about a year and a half ago. And I went to Brother Lonnie and I said, I need to get the arrangements on this service so I can know how to conduct it. And he said, well, you hold your hand in the air. And I said, well, why do we do that? He said, well, that's what they did when they baptized me. So you just do that. I said, okay, we'll hold our hand in there. And he said, you make a comment upon a public profession of your faith, and by the authority invested in me as an ordained minister, I baptize thee, brother, sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Upon a public profession of your faith. The profession that the Apostle Paul is telling the Hebrews to hold on to is your profession of faith. Let us hold fast to that profession. Do you know how much, or I'm sure you do, I don't need to tell you how involved Satan is in this world today to try to convince you to let go of that profession. That it's not really that big of a deal. That those things that your church believes are too exclusive. They don't include enough people. They don't. The things that you hold fast to are just not something that is worth holding to. That if you were to open up a little bit more, be a little bit more broad-minded, do you see how many more people you could be in church fellowship with and not just in lovely fellowship? It's all out there. Whenever I talk to people about what our church means and about what we stand for and the doctrines that we believe, I'm not telling them to try to tell them how exclusive we are. I'm telling them hoping that they can see it as I saw it and find the rest that I see in these truths. But when you tell people this and you tell them that, odds are you've probably gotten the comment that I can't go with that. Because I can't go with that, I'm not interested in visiting or in being even a part of it. It's tempting. If I were to sit here and tell you that Satan has never tried to tempt me into just laying these things aside, I'd be telling the fib. And odds are you've probably been tempted at times too. Maybe it'd just be better if we just didn't do these things, if we didn't hold fast our profession that we made. But what does Scripture tell us in that time of temptation? In that time of concern? Tells you it's all right that you're tempted with these things. It's all right that you're heavy-hearted about a loved one who is in need of your prayers. And I know that's aside from holding fast your public profession. It's all right if you're struggling. It's all right. Because nobody's perfect, first of all. But that verse 15 tells us, for we have an high priest. Excuse me. Yeah, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. Now listen. That's a double negative, English folks. Apostle Paul did it. Brother Will does it every once in a while. I don't see any eyebrows. That's a double negative. It's okay. It's okay. But you can turn that into a positive. For we have an high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Why? Because he came and he walked. He walked on this earth. And Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 4, shortly after he was baptized, the River Jordan by John the Baptist, that Satan took him and tempted him. When you take a step in the direction to follow your Lord, there's an onslaught coming against you that you better be prepared for. It almost swept me off my feet. And it's done it more than once. And as we were trying to, as what was encouraged to the brother yesterday who was being ordained as a deacon, be ready. Because you just took a strong step in your service to your God. It's coming. Satan's coming with all he's got. He's coming with all he's got whenever you're going to follow in his footsteps. And just as the Lord taught us to follow in his footsteps through the waters of baptism, as soon as he got through, there Satan walked. There Satan stepped in. As the Scripture says, he fasted for 40 days and he was hungry. Our Lord was hungry. Our Lord was tired at times. Are you tired in your work? Does your work, does your school burden you down with studies? Are you tired? Do you feel like the Lord doesn't know how I feel? But Scripture says at the end of John chapter 7, it says that all of them went into their houses, but Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not a place to lay his head. He knows how you feel. And it doesn't matter if it's relationship problems. And you say, well, my boyfriend left me, and I'm brokenhearted. The Lord doesn't know how I feel. He never had a girlfriend. He never had a boyfriend. You don't think the Lord knows what it feels like to be rejected? He does. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it feels like. And because he knows what it feels like, and I believe and I know that some people differentiate it between Jesus feeling it and God feeling it, but I think Jesus is God and God was Jesus whenever he came. God knows how you feel. But the Lord Jesus came and walked in this earth and walked in those footsteps, and it makes him the perfect mediator, stand seated on the right hand of God right now. He knows how you feel. He knows your challenges. He knows whenever you come to him and you say, my children aren't interested in the church anymore. They don't want to come. The Lord knows how you feel. He came and he preached about his kingdom here to his children, and they were not interested. They were not interested. He knows how you feel. He knows your concerns. He knows what it's like to mourn over the death of someone. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. He is not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. It doesn't mean that you come trouncing in the church doors and say, back out of the way, and you know, give me some space. I need to be heard and need to tell Jesus how I feel. That's not what that means. It just means that you come with confidence knowing that Jesus is there. And Jesus is there. He's listening and he's ever seated there to hear your concerns and your prayers and things that you need. Our Lord is not one who has turned a blind ear. He hadn't to us. I believe that the Lord is still answering our prayers as a church. I believe that the Lord is still blessing our people here. And I thank God for that. Let us come boldly. You know, in Matthew chapter 15, there's a sister there who said she was a woman of Canaan. Scripture says that she was a woman of Canaan in Matthew chapter 15. We'll go read it. Y'all think I'm going to be up here a while, don't you? Because you think I got kind of strung out there, but I'm not. We're closing down in about 40 minutes. I'm just kidding. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." It's a woman of Canaan. This is not an Israelite. It's a woman of Canaan. "But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." You ever thought if someone who we didn't consider to be a fit to be a church member came to the house of God to seek refuge, how you react? What if someone came from these hotels across the street and came in here needing some help from God? How would you react? Maybe their life situation has put them to a point where that's their home, has been. Would you react as these disciples did and said, "These people cry out after us"? And as a matter of fact, the Lord answered her and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me. Help me." If we ever get to the point where we feel like we're not in need of God, we've reached a very sad state. And here you have a woman of Canaan that is not even an Israelite who has realized that she's in a state where she's in need of God. His disciples say, "Send her away. She crieth after us. Send her away." And even the Lord answers and says, "I'm not sending unto you. I'm sending unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And you say, "Well, why are you going through this?" But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Dogs. He's speaking here about the sister. In other words, about the Gentiles. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You say, what are we supposed to gain from that? She was persistent. She had confidence in knowing that the Lord had the ability to heal her daughter. She knew that He could do it. Did she just back off? Like a lot of us do when we pray for something. You ever prayed for something at night and not had it come the next day and just leave it aside? Scripture says to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that you put yourself in a closet, never eating, right, never visiting with anybody. It just means when you're in need of God, you pray, and you pray some more. Yeah. And you pray with confidence. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find help in time of need. Let us do these things. We can't do these things, I know, unless we individuals do it. But if you see someone who's not doing it, grab them by the hand, take them with you in your walk. Say, "Come with me. Come with me, you rotten sinner. Welcome to the house of sinners. Welcome to a house of sinners. All of us in need of God's grace." That lady there at that well, again, she lived a life that none of us certainly should model. Certainly not encouraging that. But what that did show us is that the Lord forgave her for it. And if the Lord forgives her for those things, the Lord forgives you for those things. If they bother you, it's an evidence that the Lord has touched you and that He's worked a work of grace in your heart. And just as the Lord has said, "Let us therefore fear, let us labor to enter into that rest. Let us hold fast to our profession. Let us come boldly into the throne. Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." Sin affects you in your walk with the Lord. And not only the current sins that you commit, but sins that you committed in the past that you let ride you down. Like a defensive back riding a wide receiver down the sidelines. It rides you down. and it slows you down in your walk with the Lord. And Scripture says, let us lay it aside. Let us do these things together in love one to another. And it is my prayer that we do that, not only again in our homes, but as a body of Christ here at Macedonia Church. And I thank you for your kind, sweet attention. Thank you so much for the comments made by Brother Brad. And